Your immediate boss, when you were, we've talked about when you were an apprentice.
Yeah, that was Jack Clare.
Mm.
The weaving manager was George Tootle.
Who was the factory manager, do you know?
The man who actually owned Talbot, it's in one of, you know, the Charlie Brooks? It's like a hyphenated, he was a wealthy man.
And he owned it, did he, at that time?
He owned the mill, yeah. It was privately owned. And then it went to Courtauld's, and then it went to Viella, and, you know, one or two of the big companies came in.
Did he go to Courtauld's while you were there?
Yes, I think it did, yeah.
So we've talked about the sexual harassment. Was there any other harassment?
There weren't harassment. I quite enjoyed it. No, you just laughed it off. Yeah, but a lot of camaraderie and things we used to do. We're all the foreman and Jack Clare used to live, I remember, as apprentices, you know, because lads are lads, aren't they? And they used to have like a, in the weaving shed, their office sort of stuck out so they could look up and down the alleys and see what was going on, you know. Like whenever you looked at it, there was always somebody looking out, you know. So we made a sign and we sneaked underneath and stuck it on underneath. And, please don't feed the animals. It went absolute. And they knew it were one at lads. And they got us all together. And this. I forget what they said. If whoever did it doesn't come forward, we're going to lay you off for 2 days. Well, there were two of us, weren't there? So we got laid off for 2 days. I told my mum we were on holiday. But anyway.
No sense of humour.
Well, no, none at all. Well, I mean, if you look at the photograph of them, they were miserable old buggers, weren't they? They were, weren't they?
They look it.
You know, they're...
Definitely.
The family... It's how it was in the mill. A lot of families worked in mills, you know. The mother came and then the daughter and granddaughter. And...
Were all the weavers women?
Yeah, but a lot of the... I mean, obviously, the tattlers, they could weave because they had to set the looms up and get them running and everything. Mainly were women, though.
Were all the tattlers men?
Yes, yeah.
Were all the management men?
There might be an odd woman who was like a supervisor for the ladies, you know. We had them in the winding room. Margaret Thompson, she lived in Lyons Lane. You know, Mr. Smith's shop used to be, top end. She lived there. But she was like supervisor of the women. Women used to have women's problems and one thing and another. And she used to sort, you know, things out. And...
You were friendly with the people you worked with, weren't you?
Oh, yeah. They were all good people, really. They just wanted to come and, you know, we used to have an evening shift. We're 6 till 10. And like women whose husbands were working all day, they used to come home from work, and the woman would go out and part-time, you know. And you used to get a lot of young women, you know, with children and stuff, and that's how they made their life, really. It was.
Did you have mates you went out with, who you worked with?
Yeah, all the time. Well, Ralph, who was the foreman on the night shift, I was his best man. So I've known Ralph and... His wife, that was it, you see. They all intermarried. Like Benny, he was a sales manager. And married Jackie, who was in accounts. Ralph worked with me, and he married Jean Webster, who I think she was in accounts. Peter Pennington was foreman in the card room, and he married Jean Smethurst, who lived at White Coppice. You know, the Smethurst cricketers. He married Jean. And on and on it went. It was, you know... Met each other at work and they're still all together, you know. I like Peter and Jean. Jean lives in... You know, when you go onto the cricket field, they live in that first cottage. Yeah, she had a family and... Lovely girl, lovely family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she used to walk it to work when it snowed. From White Coppice to Talbot. Yeah.
Did you ever go on holiday together?
With being in engineering, I used to get involved. We had a maintenance shop where they'd have like lathes and all this. If we had a problem, they could actually make things, you know. So I used to get involved with them quite a lot. They used to have what they call the Black Gang trip. And the Black Gang, because they were always dirty buggers, you know, full of oil and everything, you know. And we had this Black Gang trip. We used to get a sherry together. I mean, the back of the bus, it used to be full of beer, you know, put crates and crates of beer in. we'd be off to Blackpool, you know. But we get part way there and they get out and open up, get another case of beer and put it in the bus, and everybody, by midnight, everybody's leathered and fast asleep coming home, you know.
Was it mixed company or...?
No, I was men.
All men?
Just the men.
Mm.
All ages, from like apprentices to like the chief engineer and...
And how often was that?
Once a year. But sometimes the department, I did it once in the winding room. I got a bus from Cliff Owens and all the women and the lads and lasses and just went to Blackpool. When you got there, you just went off on your own. And buses leaving at 10:30. If you're not here, you're stopping, you know. And that's how it was, you know. But, you know, there were folk getting, oh, God. You know, the brakes had gone and somebody'd been sick at the back and it used to slide to the front. Honestly, oh, oh, that boy, it's a war. Can you stop? But no, I can't stop. Oh, God. Terrible.
So you had a bit of fun?
We had a lot of fun. Mm. Yeah, it was. It was a good time. Good, very good time.
What sticks in your mind most about your time there?
The amount of women. It was just full of women. We were outnumbered 20-1. You know, there weren't many men. They were mainly women. I mean, the women were operators. They used to operate all the machinery, and the men used to repair them, and that's how it was, you know. Maybe in some of the spinning rooms, there might only be two men. All the rest were women, you know. There used to be bits of fallout sometimes, but the thing was, they had that many machines. One person would have a lot of machines, so you didn't really come into contact. If they'd only had, like, one or two machines each, they'd be close to contact. Well, everybody seemed to get up. We had the wage snatch. They used to bring boxes up to each department with all the wages in. They were like in cellophane packets, you know. You could see the money through. It must have been around lunchtime or something. Anyway, they got wind of it, and these guys run with the boxes up onto the canal bank and tried to throw them onto the footpath on the other side. You know, they threw them over and thought, well, I'll throw them over and go round and... But, oh no, the friends were on the other side, that was it. Anyway, they weren't very good throwers. They landed in the canal.
So they weren't in a vehicle?
Well, they did have a vehicle, so I don't know whether it was on Froome Street or Baggerley Lane, but they never got, they were caught. We had the, well, they were frogmen in them days, weren't they? Rubber suited. They closed off the canal, that section at Talbot, because there was one box they couldn't find. They found it the following day, but that was a big talking point. But my office overlooked it, so I saw everything that went on, you know.
So where were these boxes when they...
Well, they were in transit. They were in transit into the mill. The wagon had come and they'd taken all these boxes out. And they'd be all marked up for each department. Somebody'd take them to the department, and then, like the foreman, like myself, we'd give the wages out, you know. But in those days, you gave them out. You didn't get them to sign for it or anything. You just... People just stood in a line and such your body, you know. They were being alphabetical ordered. Could have, thank you, and they take it away, check it. And
where were the wages made up, do you know?
I don't know. We did have a wages department, but I think they must have been made up somewhere else and they came to site. But our wages staff used to want to go with each box to each department. And this is where they were picked up. And yeah, people like... Jackie Gray and, well,
Benny's
Ainscott. Mm. They'd come into the works with the guy like him. Yeah, I mean, it was easy pickings, really, but...
There's talk of there being some hostels there.
There was, a long time ago. The hostels were made into offices. When you came down Baggerley Lane, they were like little bungalows. And they were hostels. I'm not quite sure whether... I think they were for, like, Polish and people like that. I'm not sure. But if you remember, Cathy, at Witters, behind us, remember when we used to go up the Nab and that? They were all German prisoners of war in there at one time. Because you remember they used to have all the concrete posts with the barbed wire on top and that. And they were hostels, and that those hostels look similar to the ones that now... Whether they were, I wouldn't think they'd have been German. But
I understood those at Lower Healy were Allied prisoners of war.
Were they?
Because my Uncle George was stationed there.
Oh, was he? Well, there,
and
yeah.
That's my understanding.
Yeah, that I know were, it was like they were POWs, like, but I wasn't sure what they were. All right. like Talbot was purposely built. It wasn't just, you know, like a lot of these mills. And when you looked at the little bungalows, they were all like in the same brick. So they must have made them purposely for people without homes, you know, to come and work in the mills. Which Lord Lever did, didn't he?
You left because you thought, you saw the signs.
Well, I was getting a little bit fed up. I always had a great interest in cars and wagons and stuff. And a friend of mine, he worked at Leyland Trucks, and he said, there's a job going on. And he says, but it's quite menial, but it's a fitter's job. And all it was balancing flywheels, you know, like a flywheel on a... And you had to drill... Anyway, it was a start to get in. Because the thing is, like, getting in some of these big firms like Horwich and De Havilland and all that then days, if your dad worked there, you got a job. But if you didn't, you'd no chance. But I'd served my time in textiles, but I always liked cars and engines and stuff. So I went there, started at the bottom, and I ended up with a very good job. And then I moved on to Land Rover, Range Rover, and... But I always remember my days in textiles. Must have been them bib and brace overalls.
Yeah. It's interesting that when women are sexually harassed, they find it demeaning.
And men find it amusing. But it's just, I can't explain. You have to work in the mill to understand it all. Because they were all buggers. I mean, they were women... You know, like women coming out on evening shift, and they were having affairs with, you know, things just went on, and you could see it happening. And...
But there was never any husbands coming, you know, wives.
No.
Nobody found out.
No. It just, and I mean, it wasn't just at workshop level; it was management level as well. You know.
So how did it show itself?
Because a lot of these, they were gorgeous, proper bonny lasses, you know. And
so were they having it off on the premises? Or?
Oh, no, it'd be... Well, I don't know. They might have been. I caught a couple. We had, on the afternoon shift, we had a big warehouse at the side. And we always had mice, you know, there'd be mice everywhere. But when we made the beams, once they come off these creels and we made the beam, we used to wrap them in brown paper. And then put thick corded paper on the side, because when they stack them, they one damaged the other, you see. But when you touch this like tissue paper, you could hear it rustling and stuff. But the doors were left open because to keep it the warm air flowing with the cotton, you didn't want it going mouldy. And when I used to be on the afternoon shift, I used to just walk in and walk out, and oh, got a couple having it off there. Bottom at warehouse, you know. But, you know, one was a foreman from a different department. One of the girls out of my department, you know.
So what action did he take? Did you just ignore?
Well, you couldn't really. Nobody else found out. I just had to have a word. Not with a young girl, with a foreman, you know. It's, you know, if you want to do it in your own bloody department, not mine, you know. You know, even at ROF, and I mean, there were so many women who worked there. And Jean's mother worked there for many, many years, and she used to say, oh God, there were men going out with other people's wives. And it was a real eye-opener from, like we said, when you're 15 and you're so naive to be plunged into this place where there's so many women. And, hey, come here, little boy, let's have a look at you. You think, oh, shh. You know, what are you after? You know, there'd be two of them. You know, you'd be working under a machine, and you've got hold of something. You can't let go. You know, and come here, little boy. You know,
and they're filling you up.
Ooh, look at his nice soft skin. Isn't he lovely? You'd be put down, bloody paedophiles. But you know, you soon learn.
And nobody.
And like the blokes used to say to you, watch her, she's a bad beggar, or something like that, you know.
So they warn you?
Oh, they warn you off, you know. But it was a lot of his curiosity as well, you know. And then the first time, I mean, that was the first time I've ever seen a naked woman, was a woman dancing at Christmas on a bloody... And I mean, I don't know, she must have been in her 40s, you know. Men and women, young girls, it's just...
it being together.
It is, and just to get a reaction, I think, sometimes. Mm.